You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ and ready to take you through the two events this week. We've got the WGC, the HSBC Champions, that's in China, and we have the Sanderson Farms Championship as well. Dave Tindall sitting opposite me here in the studio. First of all, a good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, and it is the morning, isn't it?
It is. Just recording this at just after 11:30 on Tuesday morning. Frustrating week last week.
Let's be grumpy for a few minutes. Yeah. So you had Ian Poulter at, what, 66?
66-1.
Are you thinking, not only is he going to get the place, he's got a shot at winning this?
Well, I bizarrely woke up at like 2 in the morning.
Oh, were you soft?
Just to check to see how he was getting on in that final round.
Yeah.
And at that point, he was in within one of Brooks Koepka. And I thought, he's got a chance of winning when I wake up. And I woke up and he'd made bogey on the last, which is the easiest hole on the golf course, and finished in a tie for 10th, I think it was, in the end. So
horrendous.
That was very frustrating.
Yes, and less sort of hard luck story, but I feel like I was on the right line. So we did the each way double last week of Garcia, which cruised, you know, trotted up.
Yeah.
I just wish I'd picked Koepka. I do think that this time of year, those favourites, those each way doubles, and I was just on the wrong one.
What about the performance of Sergio Garcia winning at Valderrama yet again? He's got an astonishing record at the venue and was always in command in an event that was reduced to 54 holes in the end.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have it easy. It was a huge gap between his first and second rounds, wasn't there? And he just looked, as soon as I turned the coverage on the Thursday, he just looked like he's probably going to win this now. And he just got off on the right foot, made the early birdie. He just looked like he's playing on his absolute home course and everyone else is a visitor.
Mm.
So, yeah, he was fantastic.
And Brooks Koepka, you mentioned winning at Jeju Island in the event in South Korea. He's won 3 of the last 6 majors and he's shown now that he can perform in smaller events as well. It was a real bomber's leaderboard at Jeju Island. When the wind doesn't blow there, that place can be taken apart, and was by Koepka.
Absolutely, yeah, and there he is, world number one. I think that seems right now, doesn't it, if you've won those 3 majors in quick succession.
Yeah.
He seems like a very current world number one rather than living on something he's done a bit like a year ago.
Do you see that being fluid over the next 18 months?
Well, as obviously
number
DJ and Rose have had it fairly recently. I think he's got the chance now.
Justin Thomas as well.
Justin Thomas, yeah. I think he's got the chance now to maybe separate himself just a little bit if he can rack up some wins over the next few events, which obviously he's got a good chance this week. Because of the majors, he seems like the slightly more genuine, worthy cause.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the obvious bit you've just said. Seemed like he wasn't bothered in other events, but now he's bringing that to the table.
Mm.
Seems like a proper number one.
And just before we move on to this week's two events, on Twitter over the last day or so, we've seen the rules changes that are going to be brought in 2019, the whole list of them. Have you seen those?
I haven't, no.
Have you not?
I mentally switch off when I see rule changes.
Yeah, they're just the obvious ones, like grounding your club in a bunker accidentally won't be a penalty anymore. Just you know, real... I won't go into too much detail because it's pretty boring.
Please don't, yeah.
So, for instance, Dustin Johnson wouldn't have been penalised for grounding his club in that sandy area all those years ago now.
Right.
When he was on the verge of winning his first, what would have been his first major championship at the time.
Are they all sort of like slight nods to common sense?
They are all nods to common sense.
Good.
So that's good. You can have a look at those when we finish the podcast, if you want to. I'm not forcing you to do so.
some shopping to do, to be honest.
Let's have a look at this week's two events then. The WGC HSBC Champions is the big event this week. 78 players in the field for this tournament at Sheshan International Golf Club in Shanghai. And the event last year provided an incredibly entertaining finish. This year, we've got joint or co-favourites of three, in fact. Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson and Justin Rose, all 8-1. Rory McIlroy is 10-1. Hideki Matsuyama, Jason Day, Tommy Fleetwood and Tony Finau, all 16s. Francesco Molinari and John Rahm, both 20-1, and it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. And last year, DJ was a distance clear going into the final round, but closed with a disastrous 77 when chasing his second win at the venue. And Justin Rose took advantage, came from 8 back on Sunday to win. And when the wind blows at this golf course, you can have results like that and an ever-changing leaderboard. But if it's flat calm, this place can be dismantled by these top players, Dave.
Yeah, we've seen some really low winning scores. It's interesting, isn't it, when you look at the type of player. I think the ultimate in any player can win is when you had that playoff between Tim Clark and Bubba Watson. Yeah. It's like one from each camp kind of thing. So, yeah, you can go low, but I don't think you necessarily have to be a bomber to go low. You can just be a brilliant wedge player who holds putts as well.
It's a par 72, which measures 7,261 yards. But the wind does often influence the scoring. And the par fives are difficult at this course as well. The greens are bent grass. And if you miss them, scrambling is tough. So we're probably looking for a player that can I believe, give it a fair belt. You've mentioned Tim Clark there as well. But I think distance, not key, but is a definite positive. And someone that's dialed in with their irons this week as well. But I think the problem here from a betting perspective is that so many of the big guns come into this in form with exceptional course form as well. I'm not for a second saying they're all going to compete this week, but because of that, finding each way value, in my opinion, is pretty difficult.
Yeah, possibly could be a week to look at top 10 betting.
Yeah.
That might be a way around it. But yeah, we're a quarter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Obviously, we're a limited field against 78-man field for the third week running on the PGA Tour. So that, yeah, it does make it difficult because it's all very well saying, yeah, I think he can get a place. Well,
who's going to miss out?
At the expense of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not like the first five in the betting won't be the first five home, but it does make it tough, doesn't it?
Have you got any strong angles into this event?
Well, to be honest, I think Brooks Koepka will win again.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he'll go back to back. I just like that idea. He's hit number one and now I think he's got the bit between his teeth. What I was looking for was a kind of another event taking place where there's an obvious favourite I could pair him with. Because the Sandersons, which we'll come on to,
yep,
that isn't really one for favourites.
No.
The last five winners have been 100-1+. So you can't get involved there. We've got the LPGA Taiwan Championship. And there, funnily enough, we've got 3 8-1 co-favourites in that one as well. Mm. So I might get on to Matt Cooper, who's just been actually to South Korea for 2 weeks.
Oh, right, okay.
Watching some ladies golf. So he might be able to tip me off on one of those to pair with Koepka.
But you're not going to have a single bet on Koepka?
I mean, I could, couldn't I? But it just seems a bit... I don't know.
Okay.
I'd rather try and use him as a...
And he started the event brilliantly. He was first round leader last year and eventually finished second behind Rose in a tie DJ.
Yeah, so it's not just, you know, he's in great form. He's been there and done it on the course as well.
Yeah. Okay. Have you got any official selections for the event?
Well, if there were more each-way places going, someone I really like and maybe... I'll find a market as we speak. But Alexander Bjork, I think, will have a big week.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I think he will have a big week. I think he's underrated. Last two trips to China, if you include Hong Kong as China, which is obviously just off the coast of China,
yeah.
He's got a first and a second. So he won the Volvo China Open, which was his first win on tour. That was back in...
12-1 for a top 10 years.
Yeah, that could be the way in. Yeah, so he was back in China where he won his first European Tour event, that was in April. Then before that he was a runner-up in Hong Kong. Even on the Challenge Tour, he finished sixth in the Hainan Open. So it's just somewhere where he goes and plays well. I think Swedes do play well in China. People before have said they're quite good at kind of having numbers and playing to numbers. And maybe you have to do that on some of these courses. So big star, I think, Alex Bjork. Went off the boil a bit after... Well, not so much after the China Open, because he was top eight at the Open de France, top 20s in both the Irish and Scottish Opens. Then he had his lull, but he came back really, really well, didn't he? Did you watch the end of the British Masters when he was putting real pressure on Eddie Pepperell? And I saw him interviewed after round three, and they were asking him what's changed, and he just said, I'm doing everything better. I just had a bit of a dip, but it not just something had come back. He was doing everything better. So I think he's going to go well. I think possibly some of the Scandinavians are underrated, like Bjerregaard as well this week, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
We're thinking, they're just European tour players. They won't be able to handle it when they take on everyone else. I don't know about that. I think they might be able to. If we were seven places, I'd back him each way.
But you're tempted by the top 10 at 12-1 instead.
Yeah. That's a reasonable compromise.
I'm going to take one pick against the market leaders here. I'm going with Adam Scott at 50-1 this week.
I thought you were never going to back him again, ever.
I did feel that way, but I've just got a short memory.
Right.
I think the key with Scott is to catch him while he's hot. And at 50-1 this week, I reckon that offers maybe a little bit of value. He got better as the week wore on last week at South Korea, and in flat, calm conditions. So I'm hoping the wind doesn't blow that much, even though he has obviously got that tremendous Open record.
Yeah.
He fired a closing round 63, and that should fill him with confidence for this event in China. His record around Xie Shan is mixed. He's had a couple of real shockers, but has also posted four top 15s around this course in the past in various different events, or before this turned into a WGC. And this looks like the perfect setup for Scott, as far as I'm concerned. He led the field in par 5 scoring last week, and he drives the ball brilliantly when he's on song, and that's crucial at this course. But as I mentioned, he's really one to catch up. The last three times he's finished in the top 15 of an event, he's backed it up with another good performance. Most recently, third at the PGA was followed by a fifth place finish in the Northern Trust. Earlier in the year, he finished tied for ninth at the Byron Nelson after a top 15 in the Players. And that's often been the case throughout his career. You think back a few years now to that run in Florida, where he finished in a tie for second at the Northern Trust, and that was a catalyst to those two wins, which came in successive weeks. And I think he's worth about 50-1 this week, Adam Scott, so I'll just play him a point each way.
Yeah, I like that idea. As you said, slow start last week, 75, ended with 63.
Yeah.
Look at his 2016 scores here, 80 in round 2, 64 in round 3.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Surely there's a bit of wind difference there. But
yeah.
I think overall his body of work's good enough to go to this course and play well.
I do think it's a very, very difficult event to have a bet in, this one. I must admit. Other players that were on my mind, we spoke on Monday about Matt Wallace, who is three figures here, 100-1.
It's the same argument I think I've put forward for Bjerregaard and
Bjork,
because again they've been classed as Europe who might do well in the Made in Denmark or something, but can they really cut it in? I don't know.
I think Matt Wallace definitely can.
Yeah.
And I think when you compare him to maybe Pepperell and Olesen, who have, I think Olesen will go well, but they're both 66 and he's 100. Yeah. I'm not sure the reason for the disparity in those prices when Wallace has won four times in the last year and has got some form in the Far East as well.
Yeah,
I just think he's overpriced.
Yeah, I mean, what was he, top 20 in the PGA?
Yeah,
tied 19th, so he can. It's not like he's always missing cuts when he's up against the elite players. But yeah, that could be an interesting one. I thought Julian Suri at 100-1.
Yeah,
that was a good bet as well. Seen him play really well at the Golf National, runner up in the Open de France, fifth at Walton Heath in the British Masters. Again, another one I think he's slightly viewed through a biased lens of he's a Euro Tour player.
Yeah.
So they might be the value this week, I think.
Of those guys at the top of the betting, obviously you fancy Koepka, who is 8-1. Jason Day should go well, I think. He's in the betting at 16-1, played well last week. Course is set up for him. And I'll be looking for a good performance from John Rahm as well at 20-1. Maybe not quite big enough, John Rahm this week at 20s, but... he took down Tiger Woods on Sunday at the Ryder Cup.
Meant a lot to him.
Oh, meant a hell of a lot to him. And he will have a big season coming up. So I think John Rahm might go well this week.
Yeah, I can't see Tony Finau being anything other than in a top 10, but he can't really be backed at 16s when he's still not won for ages.
No.
I still think he's going to break out in a big way soon. Yeah.
But 16-1's very skinny, isn't it?
It is, yeah, unfortunately.
And the likes of Rafa Cabrera-Bayo, that's skinny, 33-1. I think Tyrrell Hatton's short at 28-1 as well, in all honesty.
If you hadn't backed Poulter last week, would you look at the 50s and think that's a bit of value?
Maybe, but I do think length off the tee is going to be a... I just think we'll see a leaderboard populated by... I don't think the wind is forecast to blow, is it, this week? At the moment, maybe freshens a little bit on Friday.
Yeah.
I think we'll see this leaderboard populated by bombers.
Right,
and that puts me off Poulter, and he is a significantly shorter price in this. I know he's got the form around Sheshan, but he's a significantly shorter price this week than he was last week. And this is, I mean, a much much stronger field.
Yeah, it's just that if you look at his record at this time of year, it is phenomenal. So the grounds on his past record to always back him at 50s at this time of year.
Yeah.
Whoever he's up against.
I suppose so. Yeah. Any others you want to mention before we flip over?
I think we've covered most of them, I think. Although I remember a few years ago in this, I'm sure I said to you, I'm going to back Hao Tong Lee, and he sort of rolled on the floor laughing when he was, I think he was 100s.
I think he was 100s. I vaguely remember that.
66 this week. And obviously his career path has continued upwards strongly. I think it's got to be an advantage in playing at home.
Mm. Okay.
It's an interesting one.
Sanderson Farms Championship then. Patrick Rogers is the 16-1 favourite this week. Sung Jae-im is in the betting at 20s. Aaron Baddeley, Adam Scheng, Chris Kirk, Dylan Fratelli, Harold Varner, Lucas Glover, Ryan Armour, all 25-1. That's the kind of event this is. 28-1 and bigger the remainder. And you've been tweeting this morning. You've had back-to-back 100-1 winners in this Sanderson Farms Championship. So no pressure. You've got to get us out of this rut we've been stuck in on this William Hill Golf Podcast. Let's talk about the golf course first. The Country Club of Jackson hosts this event for the fifth year in succession, with Ryan Armour defending his title. The course is a 7,421-yard par 72, and five of the past seven winners of this event have been first-timers. And I think that stands to reason, doesn't it, given that you've got Web.com graduates making early season appearances on the tour, and journeyman professionals taking advantage of a weak field as well. And looking at last year's edition, Ryan Armour ranked third in fairways hit and third in greens in regulation. And that's really been the recipe for success at this course. All-round good play is key.
Yeah, make lots of birdies. I mean, one of the reasons I went for him last year was he's capable of throwing in low scores and really getting on a bit of a roll. And those low scores he'd done recently.
Yeah.
So I think if you've gone low recently, I think you can turn up to this and sort of, you know, look at the course and think, right, I can make hay at this venue. So, yeah, when you're picking 100-1 shots, you can't have everything going for you, but I've picked another couple at that kind of price this week.
And you think it's a real week for outsiders?
I think so. Like, last five winners, I think, have all been 100-1 or more.
Yeah.
And I look at the front end of the market and I just go, absolutely not.
I've got one. I've not got a pick at the front end of the market. I've got a mid-range selection for this event.
Okay.
Just the one pick for me. I know you've studied this more intently than I have this week. So
up all night last night.
And you've got a couple of selections. So I'll let you take the tee.
Yeah, I'll go with the idea of a first-time winner. And this is someone who has hinted at it plenty of times. He's very, very famous. It's like this a parlour game where you have to guess. He's got a very famous relative.
Okay, yeah, I think I know where you're going with this.
It's Sam Saunders.
Yep.
Arnold's grandson. He pops up, doesn't he, quite a lot. You look at his results, there's no real consistency there, but he can throw in good results. So the last, what, seven events, he's got fifth at the Greenbrier when he shot 63 in the second round, so evidence that he could go low. Also seventh at the Barracuda when he went low as well. Just had a poor final round there. But I think if he is going to win, I think it's going to be in a bit of a birdie fest and maybe somewhere in the southeast of America. So we're in Mississippi, so if you get your map out,
yep.
That is classed as one of the southeastern states. Bermuda grass, so he knows that, living in Florida. So the obvious downside is he's had a couple of goes at this and not done very well. The first time he withdrew, so we presume he wasn't quite right. Second time, yeah, he's missed a cut a couple of years ago. But I just think this should be a good venue for Sam Saunders. And I thought of those we've got at 100-1, I just think he's a player who's capable of landing each way money.
Okay.
And because of that record of first timers, might just be the week where everything clicks.
100-1, Sam Saunders, Mr. Tindall's first selection. I'm going to go with the player that I believe will become the best player in this field over the course of the next 2 years.
Right.
Cameron Champ.
Go get him, champ.
My selection at 50-1. It's kind of flying in the face of conventional wisdom going with Cameron Champ because we've seen the short and steady player prevail around this golf club in Jackson. But Cameron Champ is, well, he made headlines with his performance at the Safeway because he's clocking ball speed figures that the tour has never seen before. I know we've got a small sample size to go on, but he's got that, it's easy power with Cameron Champ, doesn't lash at it, and he ranked first in strokes gained off the tee in the Safeway Championship, which I think is very interesting. I think he'll set up loads of birdie opportunities. Finished in a tie for 25th on that occasion. But you look back through his record on the web.com tour, had a real purple patch a few months ago when winning in Utah. That was on the back of five straight top 15 finishes. Four of those were top 10 finishes. I think that 25th place finish was a real good pipe opener for Cameron Champ, and I just think he will end up being different class to the majority of this field. Even though the golf course isn't guaranteed to suit, you won't get 50-1 Cameron Champ in this field for long, so I'll take it this week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
Like that, yeah.
Second selection?
Yeah, I'm going to go even higher, 125-1.
Okay.
From a player who I always think of as a birdie machine because he once shot 10 birdies in the final round of an Open, Andres Romero.
Okay.
He shot 10 birdies in that final round at Carnoustie. It's quite a long time ago when Harrington
and
Garcia.
Yeah, I can't remember
that. Yeah, just it was absurd. How does he do that? But it's always stayed with him, I think. He's had some tough times, but
he's been questioned in the heat of battle, hasn't he, before, Romero?
Yeah, but he's won on the PGA Tour before. He actually won the week after that collapse, if you like, at the Open Championship in Germany. He won the straight off the bat with that. So he's a player I just kept an eye on to see if he's got any sort of, you know, renewed life coming into him. And I think he has, because if you look at the his results this year, the John Deere Classic, a classic birdie fest. Shot a pair of 64s there for tied 7th. Shot 65 the following week in the Barbasol, tied 21st. Then he played on the web.com recently, shot a 64 in that, I never know how to say it, the Boise Open. Boise State. Is that your NFL knowledge?
It's college football.
Yeah. So he shot a 64 there. That was two starts ago for tied 17th. So I think he's to some nice little bits of form there of him going low in events where you need to go low. And then I thought, well, that's all very well. Can he play this course? Well, he's played it twice and finished top 20 both times, which was a welcome bonus when I was thinking of backing him.
Yeah.
So he opened with a 66, finished tied 20th in 2015. opened with a 67 on the way to tied 18th in 2016. So I just think it's a course that he goes to and plays well on, and he can get that run of birdies going, which you need to. I think it is completely wide open, to be honest.
I do as well, I think, yeah. But you might as well take chances at big prices like you have if you think it's going
There were some players I was looking at of, I thought, similar credentials who were 50s or 66s, and I think he's being written off as a bit of a yesterday's man, but he can still play.
Yeah, I quite liked Vaughan Taylor at 100-1. His form has been pretty patchy. I think he's missed three of his last four cuts, but did finish ninth at the Barracuda Championship, and this is really his level. And yes, if you're looking for someone, a journeyman professional out of that mould, who is going to keep the ball in play, Vaughan Taylor, I thought, could go well. And he's got a decent set of I think he's played this three times, and he's got a decent set of figures, finished 20th on a couple of occasions and 10th last year. So I think this is the sort of venue where he might bounce back.
Yeah, I was just thinking, the last time I saw Andres Romero was in the flesh. Sergio Aguero was caddying for him.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
In an Open, about 3 or 4 years ago.
Wow.
It was just really odd.
That is surreal.
He didn't really know what he was doing.
Romero or Aguero?
Well, both, I think. I went out to watch them for a few holes, because I'd read that was the case. Really? Hoping he'd sort of like fall in a bunker or something and just get everything wrong. He was a caddy for him, carrying his bag.
125 to yeah, carrying his bag. Yes. 125-1 Andres Romero. Give us some other names that were on your list then.
Yeah, we've got them a bit shorter. At 80s, Anders Albertsen and Ben Silverman.
Yes.
I think both. Anders Albertsen, very, very good numbers on the web.com. And he won his one tournament on that with 25 under, so he can absolutely go low. Finished first in birdie average last year. Ben Silverman, again, a birdie maker, puts well. I think he should go well. Who else? Trey Mullinax at 100s. I looked at him. Stefan Jaeger, a German who shot 58, didn't he? Remember that a couple of years ago?
Yep.
On the web.com. So he obviously likes it when you can go low. Taylor Gooch at 125s. He was runner up to Anders Albertsen in that event that Albertsen won. So he's another one. I mean, there's a lot of them around that 125-1 mark who could go well. And somehow I see that as perhaps based on past experiences, but I see that as the kind of
the
way
the winner comes from that.
The way you're looking list. At and you go further up, you can't back Patrick Rogers at 16s, can you?
No, I don't think so.
You still, if you are, you still sort of.
I probably couldn't back any of the top 10, 11, 12 in the market. No. Like, I think Cameron Davis is a player that I really do like, and I tipped him in the safe way. He's 33-1 this week, which maybe is just a little bit on the short side. I do think he will play well, and I think he's a future star as well.
It is. It's weird. It's almost like that top. I don't know, go down as far as almost the top 20. I even prefer the 50-1 shots, like Johnny Vegas, who didn't get a passport to go to the Far East events, but he was fourth in his only appearance here. Matt Jones at 50s, I think he might go well as also.
Yeah, so you're looking at 50-1 and below, aren't you, basically? Okay, Mr. Tindall, who's the player you don't want to win this week? I ask this question once every 3 weeks, it's seemingly, on this podcast.
All right.
And I usually miss it out. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, it sounds like you have someone in mind.
Well, I think given that I'm not putting him up on the podcast, it'd have to be Matt Wallace at 100-1. I'm just taking one selection there because I think the top end of the market is so strong. So maybe Wallace.
I think if he was 28... or a price like that, I'd be backing Tony Finau.
Yeah, but 16s is a bit short
for me. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, let's recap the selections then. You've not got a pick, really, have you? In the not an official selection in the HSBC Champions?
Yeah, I'm going to go top 10 Alex Bjork.
Okay, 12-1.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then keep an eye on Twitter, and I'll try and pair up Brooks Koepka with someone else.
And you're going to have a word with
Matt Cooper,
ladies golf expert.
Indeed,
Matt Cooper.
Yeah,
I'm going 1 point each way. Adam Scott at 50-1 in the WGC HSBC Champions, and in the Sanderson Farms, point each way on Cameron Champ as well, because I think he'll be different class in time. So 50-1, I'll take Cameron Champ.
Yeah, because I've been lucky in this event, I'm going to go a point each way on my two big price selections. So that's a point each way on Sam Saunders at 100-1 and a point each way on Andres Romero at 125-1.
Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave.
It's always my pleasure. Make sure you check out Dave on Twitter and keep your eye out for that tweet involving Brooks Koepka at Dave Tindall Golf. And you can follow myself at D Kellner. Hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget, all William Hill's podcasts are available at audioboom.com. And if you want to check out the betting for this week's two events that we've covered anyway, sports.williamhill.com is the place to do that, and you can check them out on the app as well. And finally, if you're having a bet on the golf here with William Hill this week, the very best of luck, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.